significant number of people that are in support of it. I support those people, as I've stated before. I'm not in support of it. I'd rather see that $200,000 to $300,000 redeployed in the district to better assist the students that are here. Ideas and programs that should be included in it, after school homework, assignments, et cetera, teachers coaching them, many different things we could do in a creative manner to help those folks, which would also benefit PARC. I've not seen anything in literature anywhere that states for school systems such as ours that there is an advantage to students having full-day kindergarten in the long-term educational process. But I've seen many articles and spoken with many individuals outside of the state of New Jersey and inside New Jersey, where they see that interventions at grades 2 through 8 have significant positive impacts on students. So in that regard, I remain opposed to including full-day kindergarten. I will be voting against the budget for that reason. Should it pass, I will do everything I can to support the effectiveness of that program.
Anyone else have any other questions for Dr. Clark or Mr. Jessford? No, seeing none, thank you, Dr. Clark and Mr. Jessford, for all of your hard work in establishing this year's budget. Public comment section on agenda items only. To guarantee the fair and orderly expression of an individual, our bylaw 167 limits comments to 3 minutes. We will adhere to this bylaw to allow for everyone to be heard in a fair, consistent, and equitable way. Also, the public comment section is only for comments made by the public. It is not an interactive session between the board and the public. This, too, is defined by our bylaw. The board will make note of any questions or comments that a member of the public will make at the microphone. If the Board of Education has an immediate answer to the question or questions, they will be answered at the conclusion of the public comment section. To the extent any other action is warranted, it will be addressed by the board president or the superintendent of schools as appropriate. No participant may speak more than once on the same topic until all others who wish to speak on that topic have been heard. If you'd like to address the board, please approach the microphone, state your name and address. We'll be limiting this public comment section to 30 minutes. I would like to ask that the first set of questions be addressed to Dr. Clark and Mr. Jessford regarding the budget, and then we'll open the floor up for any other comments on agenda items.
Good evening, my name is Amy Millay. I live at 9 Old Clinton Road. I have a third grader in the Patrick McGarren School. I am also the Latin teacher at North Hunterdon High School. In listening to the budget presentation and also the discussion on the strategic plan, I need to respectfully disagree with the decision about reducing the world language minutes in the 7th and 8th grades. As a parent, I am disheartened. As an educator, I'm appalled. The state of New Jersey on its Department of Education website has world language as a core content area. Reducing it to a unified arts cycle seems galling to me. If your goal is to have a balanced curriculum in the strategic plan, removing minutes from one core content area and spreading it out amongst others, that's not a balanced curriculum. That's a shell game. You're not teaching the whole child, which is one of your other goals. You're removing opportunities. I have firsthand experience at the high school seeing the model program that we have in French and Spanish in the 7th and 8th grades and the work that is done by the world language teachers in this district. It is excellent. The students, a majority of them, are capable of moving right into the level 2 of their preferred language at the high school. While that might not seem very significant, I assure you that the opportunities that it affords from high school and beyond are. If they come in at level 2, as a senior, they have the opportunity to be in the advanced placement courses in French or in Spanish, excuse me. This opens a world of opportunity for them. There is a big difference when you're applying to colleges and your transcript says Spanish 4 or advanced placement Spanish. There's a big difference. There's a big difference when all of the AP languages at the high school give the opportunity to earn 6 college credits before they ever leave North Hunterdon, because we're partnered with Seton Hall University through the Project Acceleration Program. at a huge savings to their parents when they get to college. It's a huge disservice to the students, removing opportunities for them if they aren't able to utilize the language skills that they develop in the middle school and early on in the high school. I have a sophomore this year who is traveling to Spain, and he's ecstatic after his Latin or his Spanish 3 honors. He is also in Latin 2. He's going to be able to use his Spanish this year for 3 months. This is a huge opportunity for him. I understand the big scary monster of the Common Core. I have done a national presentation at the American Council on the Teaching of Foreign Languages on how learning a second language naturally lends itself to the Common Core ELA standards. The two are tied together very easily. You are not taking away the precious ELA time when you're, if the students are in a language, that's ridiculous. It has no merit as an argument. I'm stunned. I have to say that I'm honestly stunned.
If you could summarize for us, that'd be great. You're over your 3 minutes. Thank you.
I beseech all of you to reconsider this decision because of the lasting impact that it will have on the students who go through this school district. We have some elite and amazing students, and you're taking away an opportunity for them to distinguish themselves on their college applications and in their lives ahead of them.
Thank you.
My name is Kelsey Shalofsky. I am a senior at North Hunterdon High School, and we are here to speak a little bit more on Ms. Millie's point.
Hello, I'm Eve Glazer Green, and next year I'll attend Cornell University.
Hi, I'm Bronwyn Mulhouse, and next year I'll be attending Queens University.
Hi, I'm Ty Poli, and next year I'll be attending Swarthmore College. I also live on 25 Regional Road, in case anyone's interested. Before I begin my little spiel, I would like to congratulate the doctor for her presentation and her attempts to keep us here for as long as possible before speaking. If we could have a slight round of applause for the doctor. Thank you. I am a senior at North Hunterdon High School. I'm a graduate of the World Language Program here. I studied French here for 2 years, and that allowed me to move up to level 2 French as a sophomore, and now I'm in AP French as a senior. I would like to say that cutting the World Language Program and reducing it to what is essentially an elective appalls me and shocks me. I'm deeply concerned for the future of our students coming through this middle school and coming into the high school. And not only are you taking away their academic time as French, but other than that physical gesture, you have a symbolic gesture of not caring about world language, which in turn shows the students that world language doesn't matter, when in fact it really does. And it's an essential skill, especially going to college and in the jobs market. World language, speaking another language, is an essential skill to have coming into the jobs market, especially in this economy. And it really disgusts me the way that the head of this board can simply throw away the time that the students have for world language. And as the French would say, ça me dégoûte. If the students here had the opportunity to learn French, then they would understand that.
I would just like to say, explain all the positive experiences I've had in the language department. Certainly, I've learned the most out of any class I've ever taken in AP French this year, and I feel that's really opened up a lot of doors for me. Just having an appreciation for their culture and learning about other cultures through the eyes of a different perspective has been a great gift for me. It's one of the best classes I've ever taken, and I would never have wanted to go back on that in middle school. The 2 years that I had here of taking French made the platform for me to reach the AP level in French this year. And without that time in middle school, I would have never had the chance to do that. So I would urge you to keep the time in the world language department, because it does add to the quality education in the future. And now this time I have in high school is building the platform for me to continue in college into the language that I've come to very much enjoy. Thank you.
Okay. Before, I didn't say where I'm going to school next year, but I'm going to attend Duke University in the fall. So just to go a little bit off on something that Mr. Malloy said before, he brought up that there might be concerns about the proficiency of our language students coming into the high school. And I agree, there should be concerns, because students will be coming into the high school and they will be forced to take a level one language. So they will not be able to have the experience that we had in an AP level class, where we're exposed not only to interpersonal skills that we're developing, but also to the French culture. I really want to make us wary of cutting back on time, because the cultural awareness that we develop allows us to expand our minds and appreciate others and also develop acceptance. Without these language classes, we really aren't able to develop that, and we create a generation of ignorant students who go into schools and classes with maybe misconceptions about the French culture, other cultures as well, with all the language classes that they have. Something else that I wanted to bring up is that we are all graduating this year, so we have already been through this. We really don't have much interest in coming here because we have already taken, basically reaped all the fruits of this, all of the years that we've been through these language courses. But the fact that we are here shows how much we care about the language courses and how much they mean to us and how much we've gained from taking these classes. And I really think that just the fact that we're here is a testament to how great these classes are, how passionate the teachers are about everything that we do and all the great things that we have learned and the skills that we've developed. So,
The only thing that I really wanted to add, I think my fellow CTMS and AP French, soon-to-be AP French graduates, I've said is basically what I would have said, but I just want to expound a little bit upon how much of an impact that AP language really has on your transcript and on college admissions. If I hadn't been able to take French 1 here at the middle school, I wouldn't have been able to take French, take French 5, AP French. I would have taken French 4. And there are many, many children who take French 4, many students who take French 4 all throughout the nation. There's a significantly reduced number of students who take AP French, thus making me a little stand out a little more in my college application. And I think a lot of people here would agree that an AP language really makes a difference in college admissions, and I think it's really important to remember that it's also a college credit. As Ms. Malay said, you can get a college credit from Seton Hall. And it does save people a lot of money. I have two brothers who are currently in the school system. I have one brother at Round Valley, and I have one brother at North Hunterdon, and I'm worried for them that they won't be able to have the same opportunities as I've had, so thank you.
Thank you for your time.
That's an intimidating act to follow. I'm guessing those kids must have really awesome parents, but I know they had awesome teachers. You should all give yourselves a round of applause because you brought them up for us. Thank you. This one particular issue alone is a tough one. I get it. It's not just about money. It's about time. I get that. So why don't we just increase the school day?
Can you just... tell us your name and your address, please.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm Guy Poli, 25 Regional Road. Sorry about that. Sorry, Maria.
That's okay.
I know it's about time and it's about money. If it was just about money, we could go from 1.49 to 2%. I noticed on your second, page, you showed us the increases from health insurance, 14%, from something else, 6%, from something from utilities, 2.5%. Why can we just pay those things and not try to negotiate and then worry about whether it's 1.49 or 2%? 2%, $7 a person per year? Really? Come on. $7 a person per year? And you're talking about laying off people? I'm disgusted. And how many parents are here, by the way? This is all teachers. How many parents? Okay, I say the four of us get to vote on this budget and nobody else. I know why they don't come. I stop coming because it's just so frustrating. I applaud all of you volunteers. You guys are amazing. This is a lot of work. We do appreciate it. Trust me. I know I argue with you, but we really appreciate it. We're so proud of our children and this, as well as Patrick McGarren. You know, they just did a wonderful job with our kids. I have one point to make about the language program before I talk about the rest of the budget. The reason these kids are so articulate, okay, is in part because of the foreign language. I would bet that they learned more about English grammar taking French and Spanish than they did all through high school. So I would ask you, how many teachers complained about the kids' language skills, and how many of them blamed it on foreign language? How many was that?
No one blamed it on foreign language. No one blamed it on foreign language.
Okay. Point taken. Point taken. We're going through this cycle again. Everybody in this town is cheap.
Mr. Woolley, you're over your 3 minutes.
I don't believe so, Maria. Does anybody have a stopwatch on me?
I do, sir, and you're over your 3 minutes.
Could I see it? I can't see that far. Bye.
These people deserve a contract. These are the best teachers in this country. And you know them. And these people, most of them can't afford to live in this town. So I recommend everybody who lives here tell all your cheap neighbors if you vote this budget down, or if we don't get a contract, we tell all the kids to opt out.
Would anyone else like to address the board?
Hello, it's Alison Ford from 7 Oakridge Road. Can everyone hear me? Because last time everyone said I was a bit quiet, which I don't normally get. Is this better?
Yes.
Excellent. I'm actually British, as you can tell by my accent. And the first thing I want to speak about is the languages. I, at the nice age of 30, was given a very good opportunity to work in Florida covering Latin America. Not because I spoke Spanish, but because I spoke French and I showed an aptitude to languages. It was an awesome experience for me. I loved it. It was a great finance role. I met loads of wonderful people from lots of nationalities, but it was my language ability, not English language, but foreign language ability that gave me that job. I then had the opportunity of living in Paris for 6 years, and I spoke French the whole time, and it was wonderful. And I think people should be given the opportunity to learn languages. Once you've got that first foreign language, all the others come quite easily, unless you do Chinese, Mandarin, something like that, which is difficult. So I would really support that languages do stay core. It is important. The second thing I want to speak about is partially budget, partially something else, and it's to do with the money that will have to be paid at some point when this contract is resolved for the teachers. I am assuming that the accountant for the school has accrued money for the current year, the prior year, and a little bit for the year before, to ensure that when the bill does come through, that we are covered and we don't suddenly get a big hit whenever the contract is done, be it this year, hopefully, or be it next year. And finally, before I run out my 3 minutes, as a parent, I'm here to support the teachers. I think they do an amazing job. I really do think we need the contract resolved. I think it needs to be resolved really soon because we're coming up to summer and I don't think half of these people will be here this time, when we come back in September, because they would have gone off to find a job elsewhere. And I really wouldn't like to lose them from our district. Thank you.
Lana Brennan, 21 Fond Drive. I had two questions about the agenda. One was, I did not see the first readings policy on the website. I didn't get my usual email to say hey, so I didn't get the chance to read those. Also, I was looking at the budget, the easy to read budget, and it went, the students coming in went from 62 to 29, or 26, 26 maybe. They were two numbers the same. And I was wondering, are we really losing that many students either in school choice or the students going at 11 that are graduating up? I just didn't know if that number was accurate or maybe accidentally got transposed or something like that.
Could you just tell me that number again so I can check it?
I'm sorry, I don't know if it was school choice, it just said the pupils received, it went from actual 70 to actual 62 to estimate of 26. And it just seemed very off to me. And my last part is that I can't say this enough, that we need to support our teachers. We need to be behind them and we need to get a contract. Because if anything, this is just a black eye on what is a wonderful school district. And if we don't do this soon, I agree with Ms. Ford, we are gonna lose some great teachers, and I would hate for that to happen when I do have younger ones that I want to have some of the great teachers that my daughter has already had, and she's only in second grade, and I can only imagine the great teachers that she's going to have. Thank you.
Anyone else like to address the board?
I'm Renal Reckon, 42 Valley Crest Road. I continue to have concerns about the school contract as well, or the lack of, and the fact that the teachers are still working without a current contract. I realize that my children's teachers want to do a good job teaching and wants what's best for my kids. I also know that we all want job satisfaction and as much job security as possible. Working without a contract makes me wonder for how much longer teachers will continue being motivated and continue doing their best when they are not being supported by a proper contract stipulating current pay and benefits. I'm wondering how soon will they only perform the basic job description and no longer go the extra mile? When will there be less and even insufficient communication between parents and teachers since they no longer work outside of their contractual hours? And therefore don't have the time within school hours to answer emails and do the extra little things for their students and the class that they usually do. I know that I will have a lot of conflicting thoughts in my mind if I were in their shoes, and I sincerely hope that the Board of Education are doing absolutely everything that they can to resolve this contract issue. And just one other thing in terms of the language, yes, a second language I think is crucial, because if it wasn't for speaking a second language, I wouldn't be here speaking English right now.
Anyone else like to address the board? Seeing none, I'd like to open the floor to our first recognition of the public. This section will be only for comments made by the public on school-related matters only. It is not an interactive session between the board and the public. This, once again, is defined by our bylaw. The board will make note of any questions or comments that a member of the public will make at the microphone. If the Board of Education has an immediate answer to the question or questions, they'll be answered at the conclusion of the comments section. To the extent any other action is warranted, it will be addressed by the board president or superintendent of schools as appropriate. To guarantee the fair and orderly expression of an individual, our bylaw 167 limits comments to 3 minutes. We will adhere to this bylaw to allow for everyone to be heard in a fair, consistent, and equitable way. No participant may speak more than once on the same topic until all others who wish to speak on that topic have been heard. If you'd like to address the board, please approach the microphone, state your name and address. We'll be limiting this public comment section to 20 minutes.
My name is Fran Lin. I am a seventh grade special educator at CTMS. And I've been a member of the Clinton Township faculty for nearly 15 years. As a tenured teacher 10 years ago, I was offered a job to teach English overseas in Beijing, China. My colleagues and administrators at the time were supportive of my exciting opportunity, and despite having to resign, I did so. A year later, I was rehired and went through the tenure process all over again. Some years later, I left on maternity leave for 1.5 years and 9 months, respectively, when I had my daughters. I returned to this district after these leaves because I admire the commitment and dedication of my colleagues that they have to the children and to fellow educators. Despite working on an expired contract, we have learned the new lesson plan format with OnCourse, developed, taught, and assessed students using SGOs, letters I'd never heard of before, trained and administered PARC, and supported our students and community by attending the school play, Relay for Life, and Community Day, to name just a few. The list does not begin to enumerate all of the ways the staff goes above and beyond our job description despite an expired contract. Please support us by settling the contract soon. Thank you.
Good evening. I brought my timer this time. In having an opportunity to...
I'm sorry, your name, please?
I'm sorry,
address?
Nicole Fava, 20 Chalfont Drive in Lebanon. And watching your presentation, it's obvious you've all spent a great deal of time on this, but in looking at your strategic plan and the points of knowledge, none of it mean anything without our teachers. They're not going to be implemented if we don't have our teachers doing it. These teachers work so hard with these children every day, and I don't know how many of you have ever had an opportunity to teach or are teachers or have substitute at any point in time. I tried it, and it is not easy, and I will face 12 angry men any day, over 20 little cherubed faces staring at you for every word that you're going to say. My son is in second grade, and he came home the third week of school this year, and he had this light in his eye, and he said, "Mommy, my teacher doesn't correct the children that are running in the hallway because he's mean. He does it because he cares, and he doesn't want anyone to get hurt." And I've been trying to teach my seven-year-old that for 7 years, and your Clinton Township teacher did it in a month. When we entered this school with my daughter in first grade, from a Montessori school that was supposedly heads and shoulders above the rest, they were able to quickly discover that she wasn't performing up to par. And with the help of all of her teachers from Spruce Run and Patrick McGarren and the literacy support team at Spruce Run, she's now in third grade getting A's and B's, which I find absolutely phenomenal, and it's because of them. It's not because of me. I think that having the opportunity to help out in school is something that everyone should take a minute to do, and you will see what these teachers do. And it is so much more than standing at a blackboard or now at a smart board and trying to communicate the ABCs and 1-2-3s. And as a Clinton Township parent and a Clinton Township resident, I think that we really need to support them as much and as with as much determination and with as much strength as they come to school with every day to teach our children and help them with their problems. Thank you. Thank you.
Would anyone else like to address the board? Seeing none, I'd like to then move on to the report of our school business administrator and board secretary, Mr. Juskiewicz.
The current date of the Board of Education's next regular meeting is Monday, May 11, 2015 at 7:30 p.m. in the auditorium of the Clinton Township Middle School.
Thank you. I'm looking for a motion, please, for 15BA020.
Motion.
Motion, Dan.
Second,
please.
Second.
Any questions for Mr. Juskiewicz, please?
I have one regarding Mrs. Ford's comment regarding the proposed, you know, since we don't have a contract, she had asked if we had money, you know, set aside for those salaries and stuff. You know what I'm saying? Mrs. Ford's question.
Mm-hmm.
I just was wondering if we had an answer of that. She asked the question regarding, you know, that we, you know, since we don't have the salary,
mm-hmm.
you know, we don't know what the salary is going to be and what it would have been, you know, in years one and two. And she had asked if we had money allocated for that into the budget, this budget. No, we don't have an answer.
Okay.
I was just wondering.
Okay. We have a roll call vote, please.
Mr. McTannen?
Yes.
Mrs. McLaughlin?
Yes.
Mrs. Hand?
Yes.
Mr. Malloy?
I'm going to abstain on 20.
Mrs. McHugh?
Yes.
Mr. Petuto?
Yes.
Mr. Sturgis?
Yes.
Mrs. Vanderhoff?
Yes.
Mrs. Grant?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Moving on to the reports of our committee, we'll first start with our Facilities and Finance Committee. Mr. Petuto is chair of that committee. Mr. Petuto, can you give the report of your committee, sir?
Yes. I will attempt to be brief. The FNF committee met last Monday, April 20th, where we discussed a number of topics which appear on tonight's agenda. In all, we have a total of 32 action items to review. First and foremost, we have action item 15FF155, which is our resolution to adopt the 2015-16 budget, as presented by Dr. Clark and Mr. Juskiewicz earlier this evening. We have the usual approval of payment for bills for the period of April 2015. The amount of those bills, which fall under action item 15FF151, total just over $2.175 million. We also have the approval of payments related to our ongoing district-wide security improvements. That falls under action item 15FF157 and 158. Skipping ahead to action item 15FF181, the district is looking to contract with a vendor in compliance with the Energy Savings Improvement Program. Essentially, this program aims to implement energy conservation measures in our existing facilities. The balance of the remaining action items include the approval of the Hunterdon Medical Center to administer assessments and evaluations for several of our students. We have several items related to the approval of homebound instruction. And finally, we have some items related to the tuition contract with Lebanon Borough for several of our students. So with that, I am seeking a motion for the approval of action items 15FF-151 through 15FF-182.
So moved.
Ken? Looking for a second, please?
Second.
Mary McHugh? Any questions for Mr. Vitino, please?
On 175 through 177, the rate setting for the
Kevin,
tuition.
I'm sorry, can you speak up?
On 175 through 177, the rate setting for the Lebanon Borough ESY tuition. I was just wondering, why are the rates variable? Is there something about the supports that make it variable per student?
There's three different students and three different grade levels. Each one has a tuition rate. Part of that comes into play is 1/10 of the rates that we are going to be approving.
So the rates vary by grade level?
Correct.
Okay. And then on $178, the transfer from cap reserve to debt service tax levy relief, was that, this is for 14-15, was that in our 14-15 budget?
Yes.
Okay.
There was just nothing formal that was done, and it needed to be done during
so we're fulfilling that budget with this action item?
Correct.
Okay. Thank you.
Can I ask a question? On action item 161, it says they're going to be a Spruce Run Arts Festival to support the SRS Playground Fund. So I'm assuming that there's some type of a goal. Do we know what the goal is for the playground?
To have a new playground.
I know, but in terms of...
I don't know that they've set a specific amount.
And is that in conjunction? Is that separate from the PTA? Is that a PTA initiative?
I don't know. I don't know all the facts. I know Mrs.
I see Mrs. Goat is not here to ask that.
Yeah.
Maybe we could get more information, because I'm just wondering if other people are not aware that this is happening.
I think
might be able to put something out.
They've advertised it.
Yeah, but if they're advertising it in the Friday Facts for Spruce Run, some parents wouldn't get that. So could it maybe be included in all the Friday Facts?
Well, because they're framing the student artwork, so it's just the students from Spruce Run. So the parents would go and purchase, right? The parents go and purchase
right, but
their
if they have
artwork.
A goal in mind, then other people might be able to go if they don't have a student at Spruce Run.
No, right, but they wouldn't purchase framed art of someone else's
your,
kid.
Somebody else's child's artwork.
It's only your kid's artwork. They did it at Patrick McGarren last year.
Okay, so what I'm saying is maybe there are other ways to fulfill that goal that other parents could support in addition to just the parents at Spruce Run School. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I just think for this one here, they're just saying...
Well, that's why I asked what the goal was.
Oh, okay.
If I could just get more information, I would appreciate it. Yeah, it's like they do for the fundraisers. I don't think the fundraisers are going to do it for that. It's going to cost thousands.
Any other questions for Ms. Pacheco? Seeing none, may we have a roll call, please?
Mr. Fattuto?
Yes.
Mrs. McHugh?
Yeah.
Mrs. Hand?
I need to abstain on action item FF151 and yes to the rest.
Mr. Malloy?
No on 155, yes on the rest.
Mrs. McLaughlin?
Yes.
Mr. McTiernan?
No on action item 15FF-155, yes on the rest.
Mr. Sturgis?
Yes.
Mrs. Vanderhoff?
Yes.
Mrs. Hand, I'm sorry, Mrs. Grant?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Thank you. Moving on to our Personnel Negotiations Committee, Mr. McTiernan is the chair of that committee. Mr. McTiernan, can you give your committee's report, please?
Yes, we've got 21 items. Action items 15PN-165 through 15PN-185. We'd like to table action item PN-168 until our next meeting for some additional reviews on the job descriptions. All of these items actually were put forth by the superintendent. I'd like to identify just a couple of things to focus the board on. One would be PN-171. Make sure everyone's aware that Alice Steinheimer is going to be interning as a superintendent's assistant. We're looking forward to that, and we'll be under the guidance of our current superintendent, Dr. Clark. Also, we're approving stipends, which is action item PN-183, and substitute, the 2015 substitute rates. The other items are typically informational, more for the board than anything else, and I'd like to make a motion to approve the 20 items. Yeah, did I read the table PN-168?
I'm looking for a motion, please.
Motion.
Mr. Petito?
Motion
second.
Second.
Mr. Petito? Any questions for Mr. McTiernan, please? Seeing none, may we have a roll call?
Mr. McTiernan?
Yes.
Mr. Petito?
Yes.
Mrs. Hand?
Yes.
Mr. Malloy?
Yes.
Mrs. McHugh?
Yes.
Mrs. McLaughlin?
Yes.
Mr. Sturgis?
Yes.
Mrs. Vanderhoff?
Yes.
Mrs. Grant?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Thank you. Moving on to our final committee report, policy and curriculum. Ms. Rachel McLaughlin is the chair of that report, that committee. Ms. McLaughlin, can you please give a report of your committee?
Sure. The policy and curriculum committee met on April 13th for another lengthy meeting. It was 3 hours. We're trying to get through a lot of policy, and it takes a very long time. I'm not going to go through the action plan that Dr. Clark went through, but we spent a lot of time wordsmithing some of the action plan. We have 6 action items tonight. There are 2 field trips. Spruce Run School is participating in kindergarten in an annual field trip where Eyes of the Wild comes to educate all of the kindergartners on animals. The 6th grade resource students are going to be traveling to CTMS for a field trip for some transition. As Dr. Clark pointed out in the budget, the Membian vocabulary program is now going to be used in 7th and 8th grade, so we're authorizing that. We spent a lot of time talking about park testing and map testing, and the district feels very strongly in the map testing and the results that they provide to teachers. However, due to the increased annual testing for park and the requirements associated with implementing park, in addition to the loss of instructional time, we felt that subjecting our students to additional standardized testing in the spring was not in their best interest. And so we are going to be eliminating the spring park. However, I'm spring map. Too many acronyms in education. But we will be utilizing the map testing in the fall. And as we move forward in the district, we will continue to evaluate the map results and the park results. Stay tuned. We also have several policies. I noted that Mrs. Brennan had difficulty accessing the information on the website. I know that Mr. Petito is going to talk about our website, so I'll save that for him. But I will say that there seems to be a disconnect with getting the information updated to the public in terms of making sure that the policies are on the website. So moving forward, I'd like to see if we could have some kind of checklist to ensure that any policies that are up for reading are on the website for anyone, staff, and the public to peruse. There is always time, so that everybody knows, I know Mrs. Brennan's left already, but there is always time between the first reading and the second reading for public comment as well as board comment. So tonight we have 4 policies moving forward and 2 regulations. So between this board meeting and the next meeting, which is only in a couple weeks, if the board has any comments about policy, I would appreciate if you could bring them to my attention. I will briefly go over the policies. There is an independent evaluation policy, education evaluation policy that needs to be updated annually. There is a suspension policy. We made some minor language changes in a couple of places. It was the word
reentry.
Previously, when a student was suspended, there was not a formal requirement of a reentry meeting with the student, the parent, and the school administration. And in addition, previously, they could, parents or guardians would have to be provided with oral or written notice of the charges, and we changed it to and. So this ensures that they both get oral notice as well as written notice of an impending suspension and the reasons for it.
There were minor changes to the news media relations and volunteer athletic coaches. And at our last meeting, Mrs. Steinheimer was a guest, and she came to discuss the need to update our use of physical restraint policy, which I have in this pile of paperwork. And she made some recommendations that she spoke to the committee about. We are going to be, when we've previously used a CPI approach to physical restraint, we also are adding a reporting sheet, so each time a child may have had to be physically restrained for any reason, there would be a reporting sheet that would provide a lot of documentation as to the reasons why. And using physical restraint is always a last resort in our district. So if you could peruse those policies in your leisure time and let me know if you have any questions or concerns, I would be happy to answer them. With that being said, I'd like to move action items 15 PC 027 through 15 PC 031.
Looking for a second, please?
Second.
Second. Any questions for Mrs. McLaughlin?
Not a question, but a comment. I think it was Alice who wrote the cover on that change on the policy. That was most helpful in reviewing that policy.
Okay.
Identifying the changes, very helpful.
I'll note it, thanks.
Any other questions for or comments for Mrs. McLaughlin? No, seeing none, may we have a roll call, please?
Mrs. McLaughlin?
Yes.
Mr. Sturgis?
Yes.
Mrs. Hand?
Yes.
Mr. Malloy?
Yes.
Mrs. McHugh?
Yes.
Mr. McTiernan?
Yes.
Mr. Petuto?
Yes.
Mrs. Vanderhoff?
Yes.
Mrs. Grant?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Thank you. Moving on to the reports of our ad hoc committees, I'd like to have our district website ad hoc committee report. Mr. Petuto is the chair of that report.
Thank you.
Or that committee, please.
So our committee met last Thursday, and we spent the bulk of the meeting reviewing the results of the public survey that we had. And I wanted to thank everybody, both the public and the staff, for taking the survey. The answers were actually quite enlightening, and they helped to really paint a better picture about the successes and the failures of the website. So we took all the information at heart, and we are now preparing a formal recommendation that we're going to present to Dr. Clark and the entire Board of Ed at a future date, and we'll see where we go from there. So again, thank you everyone for taking the survey. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Mr. Petuto. Any questions for Mr. Petuto at this time? No? Okay. Moving on to our ad hoc committee, which is looking at the feasibility of closing a school in our district. I am the chair of that ad hoc committee. Our committee met on March 24th and accomplished a great deal of work. This was the second meeting of this particular committee. To begin the meeting, we revisited the results of our demographic study done by Dr. Grip and looked at anything within the community that may have changed since Dr. Grip conducted his analysis since that time. At the time of that particular meeting, there wasn't anything that we could identify in the public that might affect the results of what he presented to us in the fall. Although as recent as a week ago, it was announced that the Merck property off of Route 22 was about to be sold to another entity. We don't know who that is or what, if any, impact that will be on our school. Our committee will begin to look and evaluate the potential impact of that purchase as more information is released publicly. Another change that has also occurred recently as well is that the COA requirements have changed as well. This may or may not impact the demographic numbers provided in the study presented by Dr. Grip, but we need to watch that very carefully. As the number of housing might increase than what the township would have submitted to the state to begin with. At this particular point in time, the committee felt that it was very important that we evaluate the capacity of each of our schools in an analysis so that we can understand whether we can actually close a school or not close a school. Our next steps that the committee is actively pursuing right now, as I mentioned, we're conducting a building analysis for capacity of Spruce Run, Patrick McGarren, CTMS and Round Valley. This would look at capacity of students, teachers, number of classrooms, capacity of each classroom, current number of students per class, class size by grade level, special type of classrooms that might be existing in each particular class, for example, resource rooms. We'll also be doing a brick and mortar review, so the health of each particular building. As we evaluate the condition of each school, we'll be looking at the septic, the roof, boilers, the structure. We'll identify any short-term improvements required and their relative costs. We'll also identify any long-term improvements required and their relative costs. We'll look at the uniqueness of each building and what that presents to us. You'll look at the building's safety towards our staff and our children, the operating site, the operating costs for each site and cost savings. We've also have asked the Policy and Curriculum Committee to recommend a class size by grade level for us to input into this particular part of our analysis. Our next meeting will be on Monday, May 18th, where we'll continue to evaluate our buildings and capacity. And that's my report for our particular committee. Anyone have any questions?
Oh, yeah. Dr. Gripp's study, did he consider the amount of housing in the initial township application to the state?
Yes.
And then is there something that might happen with COA that could change that quantity?
That's correct.
Up or down or not determined yet?
That's correct. So the township has a plan and will submit it. But it will either be approved or not approved by a judge, or the judge can come up with their own number as to how many. Mr. McTiernan, correct me if I'm wrong, the judge can decide how much housing we can have. It may not be anything near what the township submits to them for approval.
Yeah, there's actually two aspects to that. One is what the township submits, which is with the engagement in the Highlands Act, what the township perceives and has previously been approved as the township's commitment. That's about 195 units by, I believe, 2025. Don't underestimate, however, in the last 30 days that a decision was made in the courts. And that decision is now that COA, because of the lack of action by the state, is now going to be administered by a judge rather than a state committee. What we're liable to see, and the township is wrestling with this now, is a number of different numbers, not to make a pun here, but a number of different numbers start to pop up as to what the township's commitment is or should be based on the views of developers. Because developers have the right and fully intend to, as we understand it, take their cause to a judge who would then rule on that. So one example provided to me would be is, say, a developer comes in and comes up with a development, and there are some developments that are pending right now for consideration at the Township Planning Board, and says, I'll put in a development of X, and I'll put in 400 COA units. Well, while our number right now is 195, if the judge approved that, that could end up with a COA commitment of 400. Exaggerate that further, and if you take out the Highlands Act or our commitment to subscribe to the Highlands Act, a developer could come in here, and one number that has been floated around is 2,000 units. So it's liable to be a lot of gerrymandering going on, and a lot of different types of publicity. You know how the papers like to take that and run with it. But the number right now that the township believes its commitment and would be supported within the legal environment would be 195, but they're working on that now.
Thank you.
But it's going to be all over the board.
Thank you. I'd like to move on to Mrs. McLaughlin. She is our liaison to the Hunterdon County Board of Education.
The Hunterdon County School Board's had a workshop that I really wanted to attend, and unfortunately I was ill, so I was not able to go. But they are having another one in May on social media, which looks really interesting. So I have all intentions of attending that one.
Thank you. Mr. Sturgis is our liaison to ESC.
The ESC board hasn't met since our last meeting. Nothing to report.
Okay, thank you. Mr. McTiernan, anything in addition to what you've already talked about from the town council?
Yes, the COA, as we just talked about and discussed it. And also just one item of interest in regards to COA. It turns out in talking to people, a lot of people believe that COA is Section 8. It's not Section 8 housing. It's the Council on Affordable Housing, and it's designed more to help new entrants into the labor market, or low entrants in the labor market, depending on pay rates, find housing at an affordable rate. So I just want to make sure that if we talk to anyone and they think that's Section 8 housing, it really is not Section 8 housing. It would be designed, for example, for hiring new teachers at an entry-level rate, new police officers, et cetera, members of the township. Additionally, the township is wrestling with their budget and getting it ready for approval. It's been put up on their website. And in there, one of the biggest things that's impacting them, like impacting us, is the benefits charges or increases. And I believe theirs are going up. I left my notes at home. I apologize for that. But I believe their benefits are going up 12.5%. And are planning for that there. Again, a very significant impact to their budget, and they're working on ways and have developed ways to get an approved budget in place. Their budget meeting, I believe, is taking place on May 27th for approval, final approval.
Thank you. Any questions for Mr. McTiernan? Okay, seeing none, any other old business board members would like to bring up? Mr. Malloy?
Very quickly, Mrs. Grant. I just wanted to take a moment because I think I might have surprised some folks tonight with my vote regarding the budget. First by saying that I really wanted to vote for it. It is a really well-crafted, fiscally responsible budget that I think addresses some very challenging choices. I think that I appreciate most of the comments we received from the public tonight. I thought most of them were respectful in their disagreement. Some not so much, but it's a matter for another day. I want to thank you, Dr. Clark, because you get up there every day and make really hard choices. And that's not something that most people would ever want to do. You know, I think we're extremely lucky to have you as the superintendent. It's just that at a 54.5% reduction of instruction time for what I consider to be a very, very critical requirement of student development, that's really it. Everything else was just, as far as I'm concerned, pretty much on point. I would just ask that you, Dr. Clark, and you, Mrs. Haben, look, can we keep an eye on the students' performance on a graduation rate? Can we look to the high school and see how our kids are going in the next year so we can take maybe a fresh eyes approach on this next year? And if it's going well, great, right? We've made a tough choice and we worked out. And if not, we have the opportunity to maybe go back and revisit. So, but I want to thank everybody for making those choices for this district. That's not a job everybody would want to have. So I just wanted to sort of say that.
Thank you.
Ms.
McLaughlin?
I just wanted to note, last month I mentioned the penny auction, which benefits the 7th grade class in the 8th grade year for graduation, and they raised over $21,000 this year. So I just wanted to note that.
Thank you.
I just have one thing. I had the opportunity to attend the 4th grade Living Wax Museum, and my daughter's teacher has left already, but I just wanted to say that by far has been one of the most awesome things I've ever seen at the school. These little fourth graders memorizing long dates and complicated words, and they all did so, so wonderful. So I was ridiculously impressed. So kudos to the fourth grade team over at Round Valley. I thought the Living Wax Museum was great. So I was really, really impressed. Thank you.
Anyone else? Seeing none, we'll move on to our new business section. Under this section, like the old business section, it's no time for personal statements. Rather, it's time to discuss new topics relative to the business of the board. Any new topics by any of the board members?
I got
one. McLaughlin?
I have a question about smart boards and what happens when a smart board dies in a classroom. Do we have a technology plan for replacing them or utilizing a different form of technology?
We do have a plan for replacing some that's included in this budget. We also are looking at the future, and we've been trying out things like Doceri, which has some of the positive pieces of smart board, not all of them. And so we're looking at what other options are available. Because yes, they're starting to wear out and we're having to replace some, and it's an expensive proposition, and there's new technology
coming our way every day. So we're very aware of that issue and looking at it carefully.
Okay, because my concern is that if some students have access to a smart board and other students don't, then there is a disproportionate amount of instruction that all students are able to access. So I want to be able to ensure that all the students are receiving the same level of instruction.
Thank you. Any other new business?
I would just echo that if the equipment's there and we invested in it, it has to be maintained. So that maintenance budget, we should have a maintenance budget.
We do.
And it should be some type of a process for putting in a work order to get a board repaired and having it repaired in a timely manner. Or the kids in that class do get, they could have, you know, that aspect of their instruction limited because of a maintenance issue.
Thank you. Moving on to our second recognition of the public, I'd like to open the floor to our second recognition of the public. This section is for members of the public to express themselves on school matters of community interest. We will follow the same outline as detailed in the first public comments section of agenda items only. If you'd like to address the board, please approach the microphone, state your name and address. We're limiting this public comment section to 15 minutes. Anyone like to address the board? Seeing none. Mr. Jeskiewicz, would you please read the executive session statement, please?
Whereas while the Senator Byron M. Bayer Open Public Meetings Act NJSA 10:4-6 et sec. Requires all meetings of the Clinton Township Board of Education to be held in public, NJSA 10:4-12b sets forth 9 types of matters that may lawfully be discussed in executive session, i.e. without the public being permitted to attend. And whereas the Clinton Township Board of Education has determined that the following issues are permitted by NJSA 10:4-12b to be discussed without the public in attendance and shall be discussed during an executive session. Whereas any matter involving the employment, appointment, termination of employment, terms and conditions of employment, evaluation of the performance, promotion, or disciplining of any specific prospective public officer or employee, or current public officer or employee employed or appointed by the public body, unless all individual employees or appointees whose rights could be adversely affected request in writing that such matter or matters be discussed at a public meeting, subject to the balancing of the public's interest and the employee's privacy rights under South Jersey Publishing Company versus New Jersey Expressway Authority, 124 NJ 478, the employees and nature of the discussion described as specifically as possible without undermining the need for confidentiality, our non-tenured staff renewal, school business administrator's contract, and superintendent's evaluation, and whereas any collective bargaining agreement or the terms and conditions of which are proposed for inclusion in any collective bargaining agreement, including the negotiation of terms and conditions with employees or representatives of employees of the public body. The collective bargaining contract discussed is between the Clinton Township Board of Education and the Clinton Township Education Association, and whereas the length of the executive session is estimated to be 60 minutes, after which the meeting shall reconvene and proceed with business. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Clinton Township Board of Education will go into the executive session for only the above stated reasons. Be it further resolved that the board hereby declares that its discussion of the aforementioned subject will be made public at such time as the reason for confidentiality no longer exists.
Thank you, Mr. Jeskiewicz. I'm looking for a motion to go into executive session, please.
Motion.
So moved.
Second. Kevin and then Rachel. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? We're now in executive session. I'm looking for a motion to reconvene the regular board meeting, please.
Motion.
Kevin? Second?
Second.
Second, John. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? I'm now looking for a motion to adjourn this meeting, please.
Motion.
Dan? Second?
Second.
Gina? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Meeting adjourned.